shit right now because we got Pine Tar on deck. And you know what Pine Tar is all about. You can't play the game without it. Gotta have it. It's a little season and a little bit of stickum. So you can get that ball when it comes over the dish and stick it right back up the box up the middle for a knock and two saves to catch.
We're listening to another Pine Tar podcast interview with Clint Scholes. This is Greg Schaum, and now I have the pleasure of talking to David Lowe right after the draft. He was on my Baseball This Week program over on 610 Sports when I was the host of the Royals postgame show, and David's been a great friend of the site, has done several interviews with us for the website, and of course like to always run into him at the ballpark. And I can't tell you, I can't say I'm probably as proud as his father is, but when you made that big league debut this year, man, it really meant a lot to me, and I'm sure it meant a lot to you. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and congrats on finally getting the big leagues, David.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
So a lot of people know the background. Anybody that's followed our site knows we've written about how athletic you are. You know, growing up in Akron, Ohio, one of the top soccer players in the state of Ohio. Then you go to Mercyhurst College, which is not a big school in Erie, Pennsylvania, playing baseball and football. Talk about what the other sports meant to you besides baseball, and then wrap that up in the end and tell us why you don't think you got more offers to play baseball in college.
Growing up as a kid, I got to play whatever sport that I wanted to. My parents, you know, never really said, hey, you have to play baseball, or hey, you have to play, you know, football. They just let me go out and kind of do what I wanted to do. And, as I got to high school, I started to, you know, develop into kind of the sports that I like to be around. And when college rolled around, it was kind of the same thing. I had to really, you know, think about the sports I wanted to play. And I know I wanted to play two sports in college. And so that's kind of the route I took. Now, soccer was always with me growing up. I kind of just axed it when I played football that my senior year of high school. I kind of was just like, all right, well, I kind of want to play football now. So kind of just took on football and kind of rolled with it. But baseball's always been that sport where I've always been around. I've always loved it, and I love playing the game. So I knew I wanted to play that too in college, and that's kind of what, you know, led me down that path.
Do you still follow soccer much at all? I mean, Kansas City's got a team, Sporting Kansas City. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch them play, but hopefully in the next couple of years while you're up in Kansas City, you got a chance to go out to KCK and watch them. It's actually a great sport to watch live, but do you watch it much, or do you pay much attention to soccer anymore?
I would actually like to go to a game in Kansas City and check them out. You know, I haven't really been to a soccer game in a very long time. I've never even really picked up a soccer ball and kind of even played with it that much. Now, football is a different story. I like to throw the football for my arm. It's good to throw that around a little bit. So I've been doing that. But other than that, you know, soccer's kind of just been on the, kind of there and not really, you know, I miss it? Not really, just because I have baseball.
Yeah.
And I've always loved baseball. I mean, that was my favorite sport. And then, you know, soccer was right there behind it. But, you know, it was fun growing up and playing it. And I think it definitely shaped, the way I am now.
You know, something I always joke about on Twitter is I always like to imagine, you know, football players I watch, you know, like Robert Griffin III, imagine him as a starting pitcher, as a center fielder, or baseball players playing other sports. You know, guys like Eric Hosmer, they concentrated just on baseball. I got to think that if you're going to put together a football team of players in the Royals, I mean, Hosmer at tight end or quarterback, Moustakas, I know he's a good, Moustakas is a really good quarterback in high school, but put him at QB or fullback, and you as your kid, you're kind of the speed guy, I bet you got a pretty good football team you could put together with guys you played with, huh?
Right, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. They actually did something on that in spring training. They asked if you had to put a football team together, you know, who would be on your team, what position, and it was kind of a joke in the clubhouse. And, man, I was getting furious because people weren't putting me on their starting wide receiver or kick return. I'm like, what's going on around here? I mean, I was like, come on. Do a little research, would you? So, but no, it was fun.
Tell me some of the guys that were on that team that they were chosen ahead of you that made you mad.
What's that? Can you repeat that?
Tell me some of the guys that were put on the football team before you that would have made you kind of mad.
I mean, I think they were just picking guys like I think they picked Dyson. I mean, I think they were going for more of like speed type, like D-Rob. I mean, he played corner. He wasn't even really a receiver. He was a cornerback. So just, you know, those type guys. And Kane was in there as well. And, you know, how they loved to joke around with each other and you know, nitpick at each other about that stuff. So I had to get in on it and get my fair share.
Yeah, I've seen Dyson and D-Rob go at it with the words. They have a lot of fun with each other. That's a pretty competitive group right there.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not afraid to say it. I mean, you are a physical specimen. I know how much nutrition and all that stuff means to you and fitness. Talk a little bit about when did that passion begin for you, and how hard has it been for you to stay healthy and eat healthy, especially in the low minors in the Midwest League and some of those other places you've been to?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I would say when I started to really focus on it was probably my junior year of college when I, you know, had a chance to get drafted and you know, really wanted to stand out. And, you know, so I started taking it a little bit more seriously. I mean, in football, it's more heavy Olympic weightlifting, and in baseball, it's totally the opposite. So when I made that transition into baseball, it was kind of tough for me at first because I was always doing the workouts for football and doing the heavy, you know, squats and hang cleans and stuff like that. So that got me in trouble early in my career and kind of followed with me a little bit up through the system. But, you know, I started to get a grasp and an understanding. You know, I did some research myself. I got certified as a personal trainer, a couple of years ago. And, you know, now I can look at it and I can say, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do to get better. I mean, we're athletes and I feel that, fueling your body and taking care of your body the best you can only help you in the long run. I mean, you know, I don't really want to go out and eat fast food or do stuff like that. I mean, I definitely take it serious. I know me and Gordo are the ones that get picked out of the bunch of being the guys that are, you know, healthy and picky. I think actually when I got to the big leagues, what I had to do was for my initiation was to eat a full donut. and so I had to sit down across from Frank Gore. And I had to eat a full donut in front of him. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I wasn't used to all the sugar and stuff, and I didn't even get through the whole thing. He let me stop. I mean, I seriously, just that sugar rush of getting, you know, to you, I know it kind of sounds bad, but that's just the type of person that I am. I like to feed myself with, you know, great nutrition, and I eat properly, and, you know, I feel like that is something that, you know, can carry me a long way and let me, you know, stay in this game. And I think that this year was kind of a statement. I did stay healthy, you know, for pretty much the whole season. I kind of got myself into a little trouble when I got to the big leagues and kind of tweaked my hamstring a little bit because I might have went 110%, you know, when I got up there. It was kind of like, okay, now I'm here in the big leagues, you know, what, now I got to prove myself. Now I got to show up. So I just go out there and I would just go, you know, balls to the wall, they say, of just running in and out and, you know, hustling down the line and stuff like that. But you really got to be careful and you really got to be careful what you do and when you are supposed to, you know, run super, super hard. You know, there's those times, you know, on and off the field, not so much, but, you know, when you're legging out a single and you want to, you know, get a run in, then yeah, you gotta really go out hard.
David, you sound really diligent with it. How difficult was it on the back roads of Iowa? I know the area real well, but you're on a bus in Burlington going to Clinton and going to Kane County. How difficult was it to maintain that nutrition while you're doing that?
I mean, it was very, very difficult. It seemed as though every stop we made on the road, the places to eat were, you know, fast food chain restaurants. I mean, it was, I would try to find the best restaurant that I possibly could, like an Applebee's or something where you can get, you know, a decent meal. But, you know, when it comes down to, you know, McDonald's or Arby's, then you kind of have to choose your poison. And I just tried to do the best I could. And then when I was at home, I would just do some grocery shopping, and I would buy things that I needed to buy, and I wouldn't go out, and I wouldn't, you know, go to fast food places like that. So there's a way around it. I mean, obviously, fast food restaurants are trying to incorporate more of their menu of being more healthier. Not how people want to look at that. That's kind of different. But, you know, back then when I was coming up in Iowa, it was super hard.
Is that something you'd like to do in the future? I mean, every player's got a charity. I mean, certainly obesity is such a problem, with especially with youth in this country, because they're just not educated on food. You know, when you have established yourself as a big leaguer, is that something maybe you would like to turn your attention to, is educating people on nutrition that are not as fortunate as you are?
Of course. Since I am back to school, I am getting my bachelor's degree after this semester, and, I actually wanted to go further and try to get a certification that most strength coaches do have in our organization. It's called the CSES, and I think something, you know, later down the road would be something good for me, just to kind of pick up and, you know, learn just a lot more about your body and what it takes to fuel your body. And then, you know, when my career is over with, I can, you know, teach the other kids, you know, what to do and how to, you know, properly, you know, eat, or when you're on the road. I mean, I think that's the biggest struggle that professional athletes have, is being on the road so much. So, yeah, I would definitely, try to stay into that field and, you know, help kids out.
I know that I've advocated, and I know I've talked to Minda Haas, so I think I've talked to you, about the how much I think it would be important for a major league team to invest in, you know, team cooks for each level of the minor leagues. I know it would be an investment on that part, because having that chef travel team wouldn't be cheap, but I certainly look at you guys, the way family you do, as being, you know, really investments, and fueling that body in the low minors can't be easy. So I'd love to see that happen in the near future. But kind of moving on, David, just so we don't take too much of your time tonight. And we appreciate it, but we're talking to David Lowe here. And something we always talk about on our site quite a bit is the draft, the Major League Draft. It's something we take a lot of pride in, and obviously it's so important in the Kansas Royals to be a team that drafts well. Tell us a little bit about the draft experience for you. Where were you expecting to go in the draft, and what was the moment like when you heard your name called by the Royals?
So I was in the Coastal Plains League at the time with a host family. They bred horses, and they had about 90 race horses. So when I was kind of getting scouted and stuff, and they kind of give you a range where, you know, you would be placed, or where they feel that you would be drafted at. And so, you know, I knew it wasn't the first day. They kind of told me, you know, 5 through like 12 or something like that, I think that is what they said to me. So, you know, I knew that second day, you know, I was going to sit by a computer and kind of just, you know, wait for my name to show up. And I actually had like the house itself had a little dog shelter thing where they kind of bred dogs too, or kept dogs, you know, when people, families would go on vacation, they would hold these dogs over and stuff. And so I was in there, and that was the only computer they had in the whole entire place. So I was in there, and I got on the internet, and I was just kind of sitting there, and my name popped up, and I just started screaming out loud, and then the dogs started going crazy, and it was just a big mess. So, and then that's when I got the phone call, and they told me. But, I mean, they didn't really tell me, you know, when I was going to get drafted. They can just kind of give you a range of when they think that you're going to get drafted. So it was a big excitement for me. I was just ecstatic. I called everybody I possibly could, and, you know, it was awesome.
Did you have an agent at that time?
What's that?
Or an advisor? Did you have an advisor at that time?
I did not. I did not have an advisor.
Okay. Well, you know, being that you're from a cold weather state, you know, I talk to scouts all the time that always talk about guys from cold weather states are, you know, usually 2 years behind everyone from places like Arizona, California, Florida. Do you see some truth in that statement? And if so, when did you feel that the game finally caught up to you in the professional ranks?
I feel that in a way, in a sense, yes. I mean, being behind, just because they can get out all year round and play the game of baseball, you know, and certain weather like Erie, PA, it's so hard to really get out and play, you know, working your way up to your season, that you have, most of it's indoors, and it's not that same feel. It's not the same environment of being outside on a diamond and, you know, being able to take fungos and, you know, and be able to hit. So you have to work with what you got in colder weather places until you can get outside. And, you know, that's the struggles that we had here. I remember tons of stories. I could probably write a book, seriously, on just shoveling off snow before games and just really trying to get these games in. And I really do think, I mean, I talked to my coach the other day. I was like, I wouldn't take anything back. I was like, I think it really shaped, you know, who I was, the struggles and stuff to grow, you know, as a man, I think, kind of helped out. But when you talk about being a little bit behind now towards the season, yes, you know, get the grasp of it as the season, you know, starts and progresses. So, you know, in that, you know, respect, I think they're a little bit behind in colder weather states.
When do you think the game became easier for you? You know, obviously your numbers have always been pretty good. You hit the ground running pretty good as a professional, but when do you think the game maybe slowed down a little bit for you and you realized you could keep up with anybody in the league?
I would probably say that the year that I made the jump from high A to double A, I think it was the season of 08. You know, I really got the grasp and understanding. Now there's things that I still needed to work on. Obviously, you know, staying on base was always a big part of what I needed to work on, and getting good reads and good jumps, and I think that came around this year, and I really developed a good understanding of being able to steal bases a lot more. But the actual grasp of the game, I think, came during that year. Just being able to work with, you know, some of the managers and stuff that I was always around. I know Brian Rupp was one of the managers at the time, and just being able to kind of pick people's heads. And as you get, you know, up through the organization, you meet, you know, a lot of older guys that have been around the game, to where you can actually sit down and you can talk to them, or when you mess up, they'll let you know. And you learn a lot. You really do. And I'm still learning the game to this day. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there that you can learn. And I think that was the biggest jump for me to being able to, you know, compete and be around, you know, the elite guys and knowing that, you know, I can stick around for a while.
So one thing that whenever I talk to front office guys, like especially Lonnie Goldberg, always talks about this group of guys that have come up together. And I've seen it firsthand. Every time I've seen you, you're always around guys like Giovitella, Zeratelli, Duffy, you know, obviously Clint Robinson and Moustakas and Hosmer. I remember seeing you guys last year at Arizona State's baseball game, a couple years ago, I think it was. Talk to me a little bit about what these guys mean to you, and, you know, maybe tell a couple stories if you want about this group and how cool has it been to see each one of them have success in their own right.
Oh man, it's been a long journey. I mean, sometimes we sit there when, you know, if we lived together like last year in Omaha, we just kind of reminisce about, you know, all the times we had coming up through the system, and, you know, to see all their success and to see what everybody's accomplishing. I mean, it really is awesome. And you develop, it's like a family. You develop, you're around these guys 24/7 pretty much. And they're basically your family for 6 months out of the year. I mean, it really is. And then when you do go home and you, you know, like I said, I just talked to Johnny not too long ago, and Saratelli, I'm going to call him in a couple of days. He actually just called me. So, you know, we keep in touch with each other, and we always, you know, you just have that bond with people. And, you know, people are starting to kind of, you know, Clint is now with Pittsburgh, and so, you know, it's weird to see guys kind of, you know, come and go, but you always have that relationship, that family relationship that'll always carry on, and to be able to just, you know, contact each other just to see, you know, how each other's doing and stuff like that. So it's good to see that everybody's, you know, having success and it's great.
Last three seasons, I used to tell Mike Aviles that he was the mayor of Omaha. You might have taken that from him. And I know it's been so close to getting to big leagues, you know, the last 3 years, spending it in Omaha. You know, we know now that you've made your big league debut, but before that moment, how hard has it been for you to spend, you know, 3 years with the goal so close, yet also so far at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit it real well. I mean, you feel like you're so close but so far away. Being in AAA, and it really, it's hard to explain because, you know, each year, you know, year in, year out, you know, I did have a good season. I think my second year at AAA where I batted like 320 or, you know, had good numbers all around, and I never got the call up. And I mean, it's just all about opportunity at that point. And it's all about, you know, getting your chance to be able to play at the big league level. And, you know, you talk to guys in the organization, and they tell you, you know, be patient with it. Your time will come. So that's kind of how I had to deal with it. I just kind of had to be patient. I had to just sit back, you know, and I can have fun. I love to enjoy the game and, you know, not try to worry about that stuff because it's out of my control. I mean, I can't sit there and worry about it because then it's going to affect my play. So I go out and I just play hard. And, you know, those 3 years, it did seem like a very long time. But I'm glad that the Royals, you know, gave me a chance to play at the next level. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't stop. Hopefully I can't wait to, you know, compete in spring training and get after it. And, I mean, I'm working my tail off up here just sitting in class, just losing track of what's going on and just start thinking about baseball. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm already edging for spring training. But it's good because there's going to be a lot of competition. I can't wait.
You know, I know that I used to get a tweet from somebody with the Mercyhurst baseball program always asking what's it going to take to get you to the big leagues, and you know, I'm sure, like I said earlier, how proud I was to see you get up there. And there's certain guys in the organization I always have, and people know this, I have kind of a spot for, and you know, you and Clint, you know, certainly were two guys who have always been good to the site. So you know, I meant a lot to so many people in your life, I'm sure. But talk about that moment when you found out. How did you find out, and then what was that first day in the big leagues like for you?
I found out when we traveled to Albuquerque, and it was that same day when we first got in. I actually didn't pick up my cell phone. My phone was on silent, and they ended up calling my room. It was Jersley, and he let me know that, you know, I was going up, and you know, I was so excited. I just started shaking a little bit, and I was just like, man, you know. My roommate was Anthony Saratelli, so he was just like, you know, so happy for me, and so I basically, you know, had to keep it on the lowdown. I couldn't really call everybody because it wasn't official yet; it didn't come out, so I could only call like my parents and my brother and my sister. It was so exciting just to be able to get that call, and then getting up there, it was kind of a weird way of kind of showing up because I had to play in that second game with a doubleheader. Their game got canceled that night. So, but in a way, it was actually good for me to sit there for a game just to be in the dugout around the guys before I had to play in that second game. I think it helped calm my nerves a little bit. But, you know, definitely that first game, I was man, I was kind of out there. I was just trying to soak it all in, really.
I think I sent you a pic on Facebook of you next to Joe Mauer, was playing first base for the Twins after your first big league hit, and I saw him talking to you. Can you share a little bit with us of what Joe was saying to you in that moment when you got your first big league hit?
You know, I really, people ask me that all the time about, you know, what he talked about, and I was just so, I was so out of it. I mean, after I got that hit and you know, I got the standing ovation for my first hit, that I was trying to focus as hard as I could on what Mauer was saying to me. He just said that, you know, congratulations. He said he heard good things about me. He wished me the best of luck. And, you know, that's pretty much all that I got out of that. I mean, we kind of was chit-chatting a little bit more. But to be honest, I really, that's all I picked up from his conversation. You know, I thanked him, you know, so much. And, you know, it was just an honor to stand on first base with him. So that was all I could remember, to be honest. It was so brief. But, you know, it's one of those moments that you're just trying to soak up, and being on the field and seeing, you know, all the Royals fans being in the stands and giving me that support. It was amazing.
What did your legs feel like the first time you took the field running out there?
Oh, man, my legs were, gosh, I they felt good. But then, you know, how you have those nerves, too, at the same time where, like, you – I got it the one time when I was my first career football game. I can kind of explain it. I was actually doing a kick return for the first time, and I got it kicked to me, and I ran it, and I broke open through the hole, and I took it all the way down to like the 20-yard line. Then when I hit the 20, I just lost my legs completely. I didn't even know I was still running. Like, it was just like, you know, they felt like jello. And, you know, I was just so, there's so much going on that, had so much drive. Like, it was just bounce off the walls and stuff. And, I got caught from behind from the kicker of the other team, brought me down to 1 yard line. I was so mad. And, it's just one of those things that you're just so much intensity is going on within your body that you just kind of lose it. But, you know, I had a lot of intensity, you know. Obviously, I was, you know, just going just haywire. You know that feeling. I think everybody gets that feeling every once in a while. It's just like they're so jacked up that they just, you know, don't really know what's going on. So it's kind of how I felt. My legs were just going everywhere.
You know, it's funny, too. I tell the story all the time, and obviously, you know, being close to the team for a couple of years, my favorite thing to see is a guy coming up to the big leagues for the first time. And unfortunately, 2008, my first year, only two guys made their debuts that year, Devin Lowry and Victor Marte. And I told Devin, I have a picture of him on his first day in the big leagues, and his smile was so infectious. I mean, I can picture it in my head right now. And he had a old Walkman or something. He was just running around in the outfield. Just like, I just think he just was just so happy to be there because his journey had been so long. And I'll never forget that moment. And obviously, I was watching your big league debut. I think I was watching it on TV, but I saw one of your first games. And just, you know, kind of always when the camera would catch you and your eyes were like a kid at a candy store. It was a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah, I definitely was so excited. It was unbelievable. And, Devin does have a big smile for sure. He's still with us in the organization. He became a coach and stuff. And, you know, he's kind of helping out some of the players. But, yeah.
He's another one of those football players, too.
What's that?
And Devin's another one of those football players, too, that was heavily recruited out of high school to play quarterback, I believe. So there's another guy.
Yep, he was.
So you're talking about being in class and ready for 2013. You know, obviously, I know you put in the work in the weight room for 2013, but, you know, this spring training has got to mean a lot to you because this is the year that you've already become a big leaguer. Do you start playing now not only to make the Royals team, but also maybe to look at making a team outside the Royals and maybe looking that you might be a better fit for than going forward? Do you look at it that way, or do you just think about your number one goal is making the Royals 25-man roster?
You know, I want to take that next step. And I know that that I only, you know, had a little stint in the big leagues last year. And But, you know, I feel that I want to prove to people out there that I can play, you know, and I can play at that level. I think that's what we want to go out and prove. And, you know, when we lose, you know, Will Myers, who's going to be a great outfielder, you know, for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. But, you know, when you lose a guy like that, you know, people look at it and they're like, well, you know, what, you know, now what's going to happen? We lose a starting, you know, right fielder or a starting outfielder, just for that matter. You know, I want to go out and I want to prove to people that, you know, I want to fill that spot. You know, I want to compete for that spot come spring training, and I want to win it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I can do it. It's just, you know, putting in the effort, putting in, you know, all that I need to put in to put it all together, to fit the pieces in right. And getting that little taste up there, you know, helped me out a lot to really kind of get a grasp of things. And people and players, they struggle all the time when they first get called up just because of the different environment and what's going on. And the pitchers, you know, are definitely better. And it's just being able to grasp and get a hold of what you really, you know, want to accomplish. And that's one of the things I want to accomplish. I mean, I want to come out and I want to be on the 25-man roster, and I want to be on that field. You know, people say, well, you know, he's a fourth-type guy or, you know, stuff like that. Well, you know, I want to prove to people that, you know, I can walk out and I can go onto that field every single day and walk onto that grass and give it my all and work my tail off, you know, to help the Kansas City Royals and to win ball games. I think that's what everybody's wanting to see, is to, for us to win and for us to make the playoffs. And I think, you know, Dayton Moore, you know, has done a good job of, you know, filling the holes. Now I think it's time to start winning.
Yeah, what did you think when you saw Will and Jake and Mike and, you know, young kid Patrick Leonard traded for Shields and Wade mm-hmm. Davis? What was the thought that went through your head when you first found out about that?
I mean, you hate to see guys like that go. I mean, you know, Will's obviously going to be a great player, you know, and so is, you know, all the other guys. They have so much potential to be you know, a superstars for that matter. But, you know, Dayton Moore, you know, felt that, you know, there was holes that needed to be filled, and he thought that they needed to be filled, you know, at the starting rotation. And I think that, you know, he's done a good job of doing that. I think it's kind of the win now mentality than to, you know, do any more of the developing of the organization. I think it kind of comes down to that. So, you know, you hate to see guys like that. I mean, we all had a good relationship with all those guys. They're all great guys. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Trades happen, and, you know, that kind of happened, and now it's kind of go from there, and you know, it's winning time.
A couple more questions, and we'll let you get back to your third stint in the gym for the day. If you could give advice to the young fans out there, so let's imagine you're talking to 12-year-old version of yourself, you know, 12-year-old Davey Lowe. What would be one thing that you would tell that kid about you know, about baseball and about maybe even about life, if you will?
Well, what I would tell him, and basically, I learned in my human resource management class not too long ago that there's three keys to wanting something. Now, whatever that want is, going to get it. Now, let's say it's baseball. You know, you have to have the desire, you have to have the motivation, and you have to have the passion. And I think those three things right there will drive you and to be the best that you possibly can be at whatever it is. You know, say it is baseball, which, you know, that's what we're kind of on the subject. So those three keys right there, I think, will help a kid determine, you know, what he wants to accomplish. And if that's the case, you know, I think it's achievable, and just to work hard and, you know, try to succeed in everything you do. Just keep setting goals for yourself. And when you reach those goals, just start setting more goals. That's kind of what it's about.
All right, last question for you, and then we'll let you go. If I gave you four tickets to any one sporting event, now this could be the 1975 World Series or the 1975 Rose Bowl, doesn't matter,
but you can pick which one it is. So if I give you four tickets to anyone sporting event in history, what would that be, and who's getting the other three tickets?
Any sporting event. Probably when the Cleveland Browns go to the Super Bowl next year.
There you go. There you go. I like that. You went in the future. I like it. Okay.
He went fiction. He went fiction.
Yeah. I could go to the past, but I want to go to the future. I want to look into the future and see these Cleveland Browns start picking up their game. They've actually been winning a lot lately, and I think they're heading in the right direction with new ownership. So we'll see where it takes them, and hopefully we'll carry them to a Super Bowl at some point.
Who's getting the other three tickets?
What's that? Who am I giving them to?
Yeah. Besides, who's going with you?
I don't know. I don't know if I could find somebody who wants to go to a Super Brown or the Cleveland Brown Super Bowl. I don't know. It depends who they're playing.
Okay.
If it's the Saints, then I know Johnny would go.
Yeah. There you go. We'll let you off the hook with that one, man. For Clint and I, again, this is a great interview, and we appreciate it. And I think Clint will be out in spring training this year. I won't be out there, but I look forward to seeing you in Kansas City at the stadium next year for sure.
All right. Look forward to seeing you guys, too. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Best of luck getting that degree, all right?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. All right, Greg, another great guy, another great interview. And he pulled in a nice comment for some of the folks that listened to Jason Parks and just follow minor league baseball, term that's going around, want. And David Lowe has tons of want, if you can, just tell by his workout and his nutrition and all that.
Yeah, you know what, man? I know that there's one side particular that has always kind of given me a hard time when I talk about grittiness and want and all that stuff. And, I'm fine with that. But, I didn't play the game as a professional, but I think I played at a pretty high level playing college ball. And I've seen guys that are great players that just didn't have it inside, that just never went far. And I've also seen guys that I was better than in high school that just wanted it so bad in college and ended up playing, pro baseball. So, I can tell you this much. I'm not trying to, I'm just going to probably come across me bragging, but I was always a guy that wasn't as good as some of the guys on my team, but I worked my ass off, and I really did. So I understand that when you work your butt off and you get in that zone, and he was talking about how his legs feel, something happens inside of you as an athlete that I think propels you from and makes you better. And kind of like being in the zone, it's something I've talked to Buddy Biancolana quite a lot about, and I think we should have him on a podcast at some point because he's dedicated his life to trying to figure out why he felt the way he did in the 85 World Series and never was able to find that feeling again. And I think that's want. I really do. I think that it's something that does exist, and I think it's something you can capture and use in your everyday life. And David seems to be a guy that's figured that out. I think I told you, Clint, at the beginning of this deal, when you asked me to come on Sir Disney's podcast, what was the one thing I said to you about, wanting to do this? And I think, do you remember what I told you when I said, this is why I want to interview these players? Do you remember that at all?
Well, just to learn about the inside, what's driving these guys. I know that was a big thing, and trying to exhibit that to the fans.
Yeah, and I think the fans should see, especially with a guy like David, you figure out, get to know them a little bit better. I've been lucky enough. I heard you mentioning. I mentioned earlier when I did the show Baseball This Week a few years ago, 2008, to have David on my show then. I remember I had Eric Hosmer on the show then, and I said to the producer, save that Eric Hosmer interview because that's going to be something I think in 10, 15 years to go back on and listen to again. And unfortunately, 610 lost that and the massive, amount of interviews they've done, and it's disappeared. I mean, I can't even imagine being able to go back and listen to an interview with George Brett in 1973 or Frank White in 1972. I think that would have been so cool. So hopefully, these type of things that we're doing, Justin Trapp becomes a major league ball player. David Lowe has a 10-year career in the big leagues. And you can go back and hear these guys before, they were famous, really. And, some of these guys are just such likable people. They're just no different than guys you grew up with. They just happen to be professional baseball players. So, I knew Dave was a great guy, and I'm glad we had him on here for fans to learn a little bit more about him.
Yeah, he really comes across with that. While we were talking to him, though, a pretty big trade went down again in the AL Central. The Indians sent Yu Chu and Jason Donald to the Reds. The Diamondbacks were a part of that deal. The Diamondbacks got Didi Gregorius from the Reds.
Wow.
Yep. They got Didi Gregorius from the Reds. They got Tony Sipp from the Indians, Lars Anderson from the Indians. And then Cleveland received Trevor Bauer, Matt Albers, and Brian Shaw.
So, wow.
Yeah, three-way deal goes down. The AL Central, again, it seems like the AL Central is driving the whole offseason with the Twins and the Royals.
Trevor Bauer got traded to the Cleveland Indians?
Yes, he did.
Unbelievable. You know, I mean, I think people that have followed me know that, you know, I've known Trevor, not on a personal level, but people very close to him for quite some time. A very outspoken young man. There's a guy from Hart High School. They graduated high school early, was pitching at UCLA, basically as a high school senior, even though he's a freshman in college. There's a guy that probably could work at NASA. He's ridiculously smart, and to the point that I think it rubs some people the wrong way. I know that I was told that when he was in high school, he basically would challenge his teachers because he was bored, and he would challenge his teachers and tell them they were wrong. I mean, this kid that comes across to some people as being kind of a punk. I personally think that there's always a place for a guy like Trevor Bauer in professional baseball. You know, my friend Alan Yeager is a huge, you know, fan of Trevor. He's worked with Trevor since he was a kid. So, you know, if he's a friend of Alan's and Alan says good things about him, then I'm going to like the kid too. So I've always pulled for him. I said after that draft that Trevor Bauer was going to be the best player in that draft, and I still absolutely believe it. About 2 hours ago, I retweeted a tweet he made about some advice that a pitching coach had given to him that where he was absolutely against it. And I started thinking to myself when I heard his name mentioned these trade rumors that was he talking about somebody from Arizona? And that's something that it's been pretty public that Arizona is just fed up with his antics. And to see him trade to Cleveland, there's a guy working at the CNL over the next 6-7 years.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And Cleveland doesn't surprise me. Cleveland's a very forward-thinking organization. When Trevor was drafted by Arizona, some of those guys are no longer there. They're now with the Angels. But Cleveland is an organization that, well, off the record, I guess I'll say it. I mean, I think there's some people that I know, a couple people that I know that are very attached to the Cleveland Indians organization. So as I'm kind of thinking about this trade, I know I'm rambling, but that's a big get for Cleveland, and that's a huge trade.
Yeah, that's a huge trade. And Chu goes to the Reds. The Hill, I don't know. They were talking earlier that he might play center field, but obviously they kept Drew Stubbs. So there's going to be something else go down with the Reds because now they got Sinsu
Chu. Drew Stubbs is with the Indians.
Oh, I don't see that part of the trade.
Yeah, Indians receive Bauer, Matt Albers, Brian Shaw, and Drew Stubbs. Reds receive Yu Chu, Jason Donald, and Cash.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's so, at the bottom here of MLB trade rumor, so I missed that. So, yeah, so the Indians add Stubbs, who's, you know, he's a really good defender, had trouble with contact, obviously. I don't know how much better that'll get for him.
And who is the Royals prospect that is compared to Drew Stubbs right now? That's the guy that he's being compared to the most right now, and hopefully he'll be better than this. But Bubba Starling is the one that's being compared to Drew quite a bit.
Yeah, Bubba's getting a lot of comparisons. Previous to Bubba was Brad Eibner drew a few Drew Stubbs comparisons.
Yeah.
But,
That's a huge trade. Gregorius had a huge AFL. He's an infielder from Cincinnati going over to Arizona. Jason Donald, the former Philadelphia Philly, a minor leaguer who was rumored to come to Kansas City, I believe, for Ron Mahay a couple years ago, and the Royals passed on that deal, and he's got some upside as a utility-type player. Obviously, Matt Albers and Brian Shaw out of the bullpen going to Cleveland. And I hear Vinny Pistino, that he might be going to Detroit, the reliever, so not now, but I hear that talk's pretty hot for Vinny Pistino to go to Cleveland. So, but Trevor Bauer, that's going to be exciting to watch him. And think about this. So now in the last 3 days, three pitchers from Hart High School have been traded. James Shields, Mike Montgomery, and Trevor Bauer. All three of those guys. And we've interviewed Coach Jim Ozella, the legendary coach at Hart High School. We've interviewed him on the site before, and he had all three of those young men in his program. So three Hart High School kids traded. And, you know, certainly my friend Alan Yeager, Mike Montgomery, and –
and Trevor Bauer, both two of his students. So that's pretty interesting trade right there.
Yeah, real interesting. You know, there's a couple other names. Lars Anderson was a big name prospect at one time for the Red Sox, and he just hasn't been able to really put it together. Tony Sipp's a quality lefty out of the bullpen, and Arizona's going to add him. Arizona's just got to be trying to play catch-up with what the Dodgers have done, and already the Giants are already the World Series champs in two out of the last 3 years. So Arizona, they're trying whatever they can to keep up, but it's kind of crazy that I don't know if Gregory's had a great, like you said, great Arizona Fall League, had a solid season for a shortstop. Do you think he's ready for every day, Major League, like ready to play every day?
I don't think so. I think he's more of a super utility guy. I think he's really riding having a hot AFL. You know, they were trying to get Cabrera, or not Cabrera. They were trying to get bigger name shortstops in Arizona, and certainly didn't work out. I'm not sure if Gregorius is the answer or not. I'm trying to find who Cleveland. You said Cleveland got Sipp, Gregorius, Lars Anderson, and who else?
No, Cleveland. From what I'm seeing,
I'm Houston. I mean, who did Arizona get? I'm sorry.
Arizona got Gregorius and Sipp and Lars Anderson.
Okay. I don't know where Lars Anderson fits in for them. I mean, they've got a first baseman already. You know, they also signed Keila Kahoue as well. I mean, the big name of this trade, obviously, is Shin-Soo Chu, Drew Stubbs, and Trevor Bauer. I mean, I think Indians, from looking at it right now, I think Indians came out really well in this trade. I really do.
Yeah, you get Stubbs, he's a legit center fielder.
You move Brantley to left field. So Brantley will play left, Stubbs will play center. You got Bauer in the rotation and Albers and Shaw in the pen. I mean, Brian Shaw, I think, has done some starting, so that'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
And Albers is, you know, he's done solid work in the pen. He, last year for Arizona, you know, only 23 games, but 21 innings, 19 strikeouts. Also pitched for Boston last year. Total combined was 2.39 ERA in 60 innings. So
Brian Shaw has not started the games in the big leagues. He threw 64 games out of the pen last year for Arizona. He was 1-6 with a 3.49 ERA. He was their second round pick in 08 out of Long Beach State. So this is his second year. His first full season was in the big leagues this year. And I'm looking at his minor league numbers. Yeah, he started up until 2011. So 2009, 2010, he was a starter and then got moved to the pen. So his stuff certainly plays better there. So. I mean, that's a huge trade. And there's been some big trades this offseason. This is it's almost like, these guys are playing OOTP baseball all of a sudden, at the park baseball. It's nuts.
Well, then, and a lot of it's coming out of the AL Central. The Twins have made two moves with first trade in Span for Meyer, and then they...
And they signed Scott Ellerton today, so there's that, too.
I don't know about that move, but then they also traded...
No, they really did.
Well, yeah, I know they did that. But I'm saying, I'm trying to ignore Ellerton like we did when he was in Kansas City. But they also, you know, flipped Revere for two starters in Worley and May, which I think the Twins, that's a great deal for them. Revere is, I know a lot of people like him and all that, but he's just I compare him to Jerod Dyson, and you can get two starters for Jerod Dyson, you're doing well.
Yeah. You know, this is funny. I'm looking at Trevor Bauer's Twitter line right now, and he's having a conversation with somebody about pitching right now, almost like he's oblivious to the fact he just got traded, which is amazing about Twitter. You know, he's teaching somebody. I mean, this is Trevor Bauer in a nutshell. This guy is on Twitter right now talking to a couple fans about pitching, and he's just been traded to the Cleveland Indians, and it just... everything I know about Trevor, and I know a lot about him, and he is such an interesting kid. The Cleveland media is going to have fun with him. I tell you what, he's Zach Greinke in a lot of ways, only with he might be a genius. He really is. I mean, I'm not trying to exaggerate here. This kid is that smart. Well, I mean, most people feel that he could have been an engineer, whatever he wanted to be, he could have done. But the kid loves pitching, and I think sometimes he loves it so much that it comes across as being so arrogant, and he probably is, that it rubs some people the wrong way. I know he rubbed his catcher the wrong way last year in the big leagues, but I have a feeling I'm going to send some texts out after this. I have a feeling there might be some people that I know that certainly
probably angled in on Trevor Bauer. And it's funny because one of those people, I sent his, I took a picture of his tweet from earlier today and sent it to him, and you know, they didn't give anything there. But I'm pretty curious about this trade for sure.
Yeah, you can follow Trevor actually at Bauer Outage. And he, like Greg said, he's always given out great insight on pitching. I remember earlier in the season he had an interaction with Brooks Baseball, who, if you don't know who he is, he does all the kind of advanced just pitching and following the location of the ball, all that stuff. And Trevor was actually telling them what pitches he was throwing and how their software wasn't recognizing it correctly. And the guy is just, you know, he is a genius when it comes to pitching. And hopefully he can start putting those results on the board, but not against the Royals.
And he's also, Trevor Bauer is also a student of the Texas Baseball Ranch, who we've had talked to on the site before, Von Wolfhorst Baseball Camp down in Texas. So he's a guy that has had a couple different private coaches work well with him. And this is his tweet from earlier today. He said, ever been taught to get your throwing elbow above your shoulder? Go look at Hall of Fame pitchers and see how many of them did that. That's the one I sent a picture of to somebody I'm close with. And after that, the conversation he had with a couple people, including Will Carroll, the injury expert, was pretty interesting, the conversations that happened. And somebody sent him a picture of Bob Gibson and said, well, what about this picture of Bob Gibson? And he answered back to the person saying, that pick of Gibson is after the rotation, not in an elbow position. That pitcher shows the point. And then he sent him a new picture of Bob Gibson, how he throws. And that's the way that, you know, people that I'm close to look at pitching too. Then they study the pitchers from the past. And Trevor, if you know something about Trevor, he throws a lot like a Satchel Paige did, or maybe even a Vita Blue, where he gets his weight way back. I don't know if you've noticed this, always gets his weight way back before he pitches. And he believes, and a lot of people believe, that's the best way to stay healthy, is to throw more with your legs rather than to be topside, topside heavy. So Trevor's an interesting guy, and I'm trying to think that Francona in Cleveland should be a guy that I think should be able to corral him and help him out quite a bit. But at some point, you got to realize that he's just a unique guy, and if he can put up with his antics while he's winning 15 to 20 games, I'm sure that it's not going to be an issue at all.
No. And there was a little bit of buzz about the Royals possibly trading for him, you know, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that would have been one of the most if he would have been the Kansas Royal, I can't tell you how interesting that would have been, considering everything that happened with Trevor in the draft. And, I think it's the now famous Jeff Passan article where Trevor Bauer and Dylan Bundy both said they wouldn't pitch for a team like the Royals or the Pirates or a couple other teams there as well. So that would have been interesting. And that would have been, you know, if you talk about the Royals, and they've come a long way in how they teach long toss and stuff like that. But this kid is a freak. I mean, he's Mike Montgomery times three. So that would have been real interesting for sure.
Yep. So, well, I think we will have Brett Eibner next time. And who knows, we might have some more transactions to talk about next time we're up. So.
Yeah. Again, thanks for David Lowe. Always great to talk to him. And we wish him continued success on his path in life. And, you know, there's a guy that you know is going to do so good, whatever he does. But certainly, you know, we look forward to seeing him in the big leagues with the Royals in 2013.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll need a starting right fielder, and David can fill that spot.
He's got a shot. I mean, he's got a chance. He's got a chance to make the club and spell Francoeur. And if Francoeur struggles and they don't have another right fielder, then he's got a chance to show that he can become a regular in the big leagues. I'm not sure if he, you know, obviously he's not considered a regular right now, but you never say never with anybody, you know.
No, especially with a kid like him. So. Well, thanks a lot, Greg, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, again, I'm sorry to be long-winded with Trevor Bauer, but, I mean, I'm just really, really floored by that trade. It's a pretty amazing deal, and that's a pretty creative deal. So, again, I think it'd be fun to see Trevor Bauer pitching against the Royals, you know, four times a year for the next decade.
Well, hopefully his results against us aren't too good.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.